We are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 19, beginning at the 16th verse. And if somebody can read from verse 16 to 22, and then if the second person can read from 23 to 30.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
And then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Amen. Tonight, we just want to talk about the externality, serving the externality of religion or the law, or the externality of the law, which is what was going on here. They could keep the externality of the law, amen, but not obeying from the heart. And we receive salvation from the heart, in the heart, not in the externality of the soul. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you and we bless you just for who you are, to know that you're God alone, you're God all by yourself, and beside you there is none other. God, we pray that you just speak to us tonight through your word, that your word will speak to our hearts. Oh God, even beyond the externality of the soulish realm, but we'll go to that deep place, that secret place, oh God, that you may just manifest your life, your love, even through conviction, through correction, oh God. We pray for your glory just to fall upon us. Go with us, be with us, everybody on the line. Father God, we pray for clarity. We pray, oh God, for your spirit to just have your way in our lives. We pray that you speak to us, even areas, even people, even family, oh God, that we come into contact with. We pray, God, that you just radiate your love, your light, your compassion, even through our hearts, oh God, that when people meet us, oh God, they can know that they've met the Christ in us, oh God, that we won't be like everybody else, but there'll be something different about us. Speak to us through your word. Just correct me, oh God, where correction is needed. Convict me, where conviction is needed, crucify even my flesh, God, that I won't speak out of me. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and forsake we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank God for just his word. And one thing about it, and I want to say on this line, as we've been praying through the Romans book that we go through, it's, and I said this before, and I'm going to say it again, has been speaking something different to me. It's been speaking something different that I have not seen. Even John, when we were in the book of John, it just opened my eyes to something that I have not seen before. Even we were dealing with the book of Proverbs, showing the father and the son, and the father training, giving instruction to a son. You know, you knew this stuff was there, but how God opened my eyes to it. Even in the book of Revelation, amen, God just really opened up my eyes. And now in Romans, he just opened up my eyes to the externality of religion and the dangers of externality and religion and not obeying from the heart. What we talked about that a little bit this morning, even in Romans chapter 7, amen. This morning we were in Romans chapter 7, and we used the illustration this morning about this rich man and how we talked about the law, right? The law was holy, and it was good, and the law was just. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Judaizers, they tried to hide behind the externality of the law to say they were keeping the law because they really, amen. It's one word, and we're going to look at this word tonight, and it's one word called conviction. We're going to look at this word tonight. They were evasive and evading conviction. Even when we look at Christ and the miracles that he wrought, and I talked about a little bit on Sunday, and even when he would do different miracles, they could not explain it. And guess what? Nobody ever spoke like him. They said that. Nobody can speak this and exude power when he speaks and authority when he speaks. Yet he's this displaying humility and meekness in everything. But and even when he healed, he opened up the blind man's eyes from birth, right? They were convicted. They were convicted by his works. They were convicted by his words. Amen. But they still refuse to acknowledge. Amen. And there are people that want church. There are people that want religion, but they don't want conviction. They don't mind being convicted in the areas that they can afford to give up over to God, but they have some deep places. They have some deep places, amen, that they refuse to give over to the Lord. And that's why I thank God. And just real quick, before we go back to Matthew chapter 19, when he talks about Romans chapter 7, he says, because there was like, well, what good is the law? What good is the law if you're saying we don't need to obey the law or we don't live according to the law anymore? He said, no, the law is good. Amen. He says, in verse 7, he says, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, but by the law. And God said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of conspicuance. For without the law, sin was dead. And Paul says, for I was alive once without the law before I was saved. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Amen. And so we see here the importance of the law, and the law is holy, and the law is good, and the law is just. Amen. But they were serving under the externality of the law, right? And so when Jesus Christ challenges the rich young ruler, amen, and he talks about the commandments of the law, and he talks about the external commandments of the law. And let's look at verse 19, chapter 19. And so this discussion that the rich young man or the rich young ruler. And y'all notice something. This passage is listed in three of the Gospels. It's mentioned in Matthew. It's mentioned in Luke. And it's mentioned in Mark. Not sure about John, but I know it's mentioned in three places where Christ had this discourse with the rich young ruler. And when he says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life? So right there, that, listen, y'all know what that tells me? That tells me that this rich young ruler or this rich young man, he was seeking Christ. He recognized that there was something about Christ. Amen? He recognized and he realized, listen, he realized that there was something in him, that there was something missing, right? That although he was rich and he had wealth and he had a high position in the synagogue, right? But he was still missing something, amen? And that's what I believe drove him to Christ. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, this is verse 17, keep the commandments. That means keep my word, or well, keep the commandments. Right now he's referring to the law. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do, he says, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And guess what? The young man was like, yes, 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 yes. Because this is what he said. He said, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Amen. And I've read different things on what that really meant, what Jesus was telling them, different versions on how the disciples left Christ. They left what they were doing. They left their occupations and they went and they dropped their nets and they went and followed Christ. And basically he was saying the same thing to the rich man. Listen, not to sell the very shirt off your back, not to sell the very necessities, but basically just leave that life of your occupation and go ahead on and follow me. That's what he was saying. And Christ knew, he says, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so we can look back in Romans chapter 7, right? When Paul says, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of desire. That's what that word means, desire. Well, without the law, I was dead. And you notice Paul used covet. Covet means lust, desire. That's the thing in the heart. See, the Judaizers were good at the external things of the law, right? And really, they really were not good at the external things of the law. They really were not. But they could fake it and come with external works. But he went to covetousness, which is the last commandment, to show that's an inward commandment, to keep the inward covetousness and lust and desire. You can't see that motive or things you can't see. But if I start with the heart, I'll keep the things on the outside. You don't start trying to keep the things on the outside and think it's going to fix the heart. No, Christ wants to fix the heart. Christ wants to save us from the inside out, not from the outside in. So when Jesus said that, Amen. When Jesus challenged him, right, on that, he knew it was a sticking point. But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? But that this was to be expected among the Jews at that day. However, in spite of his position in society, because y'all know, and this young man was sincere in his request. He was sincere in seeking Christ for eternal salvation and his religion. And he felt definite need for something more. He felt the need. And we know, and we talk about it all the time, there's a need in man for people who are not saved. There's a toil. Solomon talks about it. In chapter 3 of the in Ecclesiastes, there's a toil. He said, I've seen the toil in man. I've seen the wrestling of man to find out, to fulfill this longing that we have. People are longing. People are hurting. Listen, I ain't got to say, I know I sound like a broken record. Mental illness is off the charts. Depression is off the charts. Suicide is up. Amen. You're hearing about people that are celebrities committing suicide. And this young lady who had a lot going for her, she committed suicide. Amen. And I'm starting to lean toward, man, I'm telling my children, I'm telling young people, listen, somebody go to school. We need more Christian counselors. Amen. We need more Christian counselors. That's a profession. That is a profession. Because guess what? It's only the word of God that can fulfill and sustain us, even going through this, coming through this coronavirus. Amen. And I say it all the time. The natural progression in this life without Jesus Christ is insanity. Amen. We would have lost our mind. Seriously. And listen, and nobody got to speak up. Unless you want to speak up, I'll give you opportunity to speak up. But when we look back over our lives and we see where we've come from, amen, the fact that we still got our right mind, able to dress ourselves, clothe ourselves, work on a job, the fact that all the things that we've been through in the past, that we're not crazy, that's a testament to the Lord. Don't think you just fixed yourself up. You just got yourself together. You're just cute and you got it all right. No, it's the grace of God. God is my keeper. He is a sustainer and he's able to keep us in perfect peace with his what? Mind stayed on thee. And guess what, y'all? That's something that I think sometimes we take it for granted. We think we see some people that are depressed, right? We see some people that are going through. No, we must have compassion, not to try to relate to where they are, but praying for them. Amen. Because that's the natural progression of this world without Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm meeting them down here. I'm meeting them on my job, in the church. People are going through. Amen. But we thank God. We thank God that God is able to keep us in perfect peace with our minds stayed on thee. Amen. So this young ruler, this young rich man, he felt the need for Christ. He felt the toil. Even though he was rich, even like the rich man who built greater and greater barns, he felt the need. He felt the need to, all he knew what to do was build more barns. But he couldn't feel that. Solomon tried to fulfill it. He couldn't fulfill it. Amen. The woman at the well, she tried to fulfill it with her husband, but she couldn't fulfill it. Aren't you glad you know you got Jesus? Aren't you glad to know that you got fulfillment in Christ? But aren't you glad? Listen, we can't get comfortable, or we just can't sit down on this love and think we did it ourselves. No, it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. The life that now we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for me. And when we look at Jesus' discourse here with this young ruler, he said, we wonder, why did Jesus bring up the commandments? Did he actually teach people to receive eternal life by obeying God's law? If anyone could keep the commandments, he certainly would enter into life. But no man can keep God's law perfectly. Amen. Therefore, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Thank God for Minister Tobin this morning. He brought out, pointed out the fact that the law is holy, right? And the law could save you. But guess what? It can't save us because we have the sin nature. Amen? The law is just and the law is good. Amen? And I don't have time to turn to Romans chapter 5. Boy, I'm telling you, I was in chapter 5. And we talk about the law, right? And the imputation of righteousness. When listen, because of one man's sin, Adam, right? Because of Adam's sin, the Bible says sin and the nature, the fallen nature, the old man, that sin was imputed unto all of us. So we're all born in what? Sin and what? Shaped in iniquity. Amen? That's what we are. We were all shaped by the course of this world. But because of one new man, Jesus Christ, after accepting him and believing him, righteousness has been imparted into us. Amen. I'm just going to turn to Romans 5 just real quick. We're going to read a couple of these verses, Romans chapter 5, and you'll see the contrast. You'll see the contrast. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. Right? And then verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over him that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. Amen? And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift, hallelujah, is of many offenses unto justification. Amen? And Reverend Ruffin, there was a Reverend Ruffin, he used to have a rhyme to this. He used to say, sin bought in condemnation. He had a little rap. But thank God for Jesus. When he died, he brought in justification, took out condemnation, and brought in justification. Adam brought in condemnation, but Christ brought in salvation, sanctification, and justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense one, judgment came unto all men, unto condemnation. That's where we were. We were dead. Amen? But also of righteousness, one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Amen? The verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, because all the law could do is show us that we were sinful, show us that we were messed, not just externally, but the law could show us our heart because of the word covetousness and lust. But the Bible says where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. And so that's what we need to know. Amen. And then verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Amen. That's where we live. And now in verse 6:17, I talk about this. So we talk about the externality of the laws. And that's where the Judaizers were. But now we've obeyed from the heart. It's a heart relationship. But he says, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which was delivered unto you. Amen. And so, and we talked about that a little bit this morning, but I want to go back to this rich man. And so when Christ therefore talks about the commandments, Jesus did not introduce the law to show the young man how to be saved, but to show him, when he talked about the law and serving the law, he wanted to show the young man that he needed to be saved. The law is a mirror that reveals what we are and what we look like. But the law also shows, it points, it directed us to Christ. Amen. And guess what, y'all? This young man wasn't trying to be evasive. But he was making a mistake. He was, for one part of God's law cannot be separated from the other. To classify God's laws into lesser and greater is to miss the whole purpose of the law. Amen. So when Christ was talking to him and he said, I kept that, I kept this, and I kept that, but the one thing you did not keep, amen, your heart from that stronghold. And what was the stronghold that this rich man had? What was his stronghold? Coveted his riches. And guess what? He was a good man. And y'all know, we talk about good people. Man, I know good people. I work with good people. But just because they're good, that don't mean they're saved. Amen. He had something on the inside where he was not willing to give up what he had to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Man. And I think about when we're saved, we're convicted to our hearts that we are sinners in need of a savior. When we're convicted. And there's no salvation without conviction. But here is this young man seeking eternal life. But when Christ talked to him about selling all that he had, giving it to the poor, amen, conviction could not break the stronghold or the hardness of his heart. Amen. Yes, he kept all the other commandments. Yes, he did not commit adultery. Yes, he did not steal. Yes, he did not bear false witness. Yes, he did not honor his father. Yes, he did honor his mother and his father. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But the young man, he went away. He went away because he would not let conviction drill down to the pay dirt. When we're using a pole digger, right? And this is the word of God. We talk about surface church. This man probably went back to the church. And many people, they want church without conviction. They don't want the word to drill down to convict the heart, because when conviction comes, that means we must make a change. Y'all, and guess what? That's where we are. As long as I'm operating under the law of under surface church, guess what? The old man goes unchecked. Because if there is somebody that I need to apologize to, I can just work it off in the church. Amen? Amen? And that's why, and listen, y'all, the Lord has been dealing with my heart. I'm like, Lord, why am I always preaching and saying the same thing? I sound like a broken record to myself sometimes. But guess what, y'all? But guess what? This is where the Lord has us, to deal with the dangers of surface church and externality and not letting the word drill down. There's enough problems in this world. There's enough sick people in our families, in the hospital, and we're praying for them. And there's enough externality things going on that the devil can have us keep our focus on these external things, but we not deal with the heart. Amen. The Bible says, do thy diligence to keep thy heart, for out of the heart flows the issues of life. And guess what? Without me having my heart checked, I'm no good to witness or pray for anybody else. But it's through heart. That's why Paul said, I thank God that from the heart we obeyed God. Amen. It's the heart. We got the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. And that's why it's the blood of Jesus Christ to hit those rooms, those areas in us that nobody else knows about. That's where conviction has to come in. And I said this on Sunday, thank God for my wife. Me and my wife, I love her and she loves me. But guess what? Just like Jesus Christ drilled down to the heart of where that strong man was, where that stronghold was in this rich man. Only the word of God could get there. Nobody else knew Judas had the same problem. You think Peter, as bad as he was, and James and John, Judas was with them for 3 years, but they could not depict or detect that even when Jesus said, one of y'all are going to betray me, right? You think they would have been like, oh, you know what? It's Judas. Could they tell? No, because Judas blended in and he fit in with everybody else. And guess what, y'all? We have people in Community Baptist Church that are good at externality and coming to church and giving God glory. But there's no conviction of the heart. There must be conviction of the heart. Amen. And it's the conviction of the heart when we submit to it that Christ is now able to open up the floodgates of the fruits of the Spirit. Listen, we can't. We got to move on from there. And we've got to be to allow conviction. And we can talk about service church and preaching that can be soulical and emotional, and never convicting beyond the curtain of what's really going on in my life, right? And I can just be a casual saint and just a little light wine and drink and mix it up and bust it up and do all. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God, yes, he forgives, and I'm not pointing at anybody else. But there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a compelling in my life. Amen. And guess what, y'all? When we talk about serving church and we don't stick to the word and preach the word, guess what? Man, my flesh is a mastermind at evading and rationalizing within ourselves our own sins and our own wrongs and our own motives and why we can't speak to this person and why we can't forgive somebody else. Man, guess what? Our flesh will continue to play tricks on us. That's the old man. The old man ain't stupid. He's smart. He'll give you an excuse of why you got to tell somebody off. Oh, wow. Oh, I got to get with him. Mm-mm. Right? Mm-mm. No, no. I guess I'm all by myself, right? Amen. Listen, and your flesh will trick you. It'll bamboozle you. And you'll see yourself coming on, right? Like the Board of Health, right? You just clean. And that's when we're not in a state where we're open to be broken by the word of God. Listen, Amos 5:21 says, I despise your feast days. I cannot stand the stench. These were church folk. stand the stench of your solemn assembly. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. He says, take away from me the noise of your song. I will not listen to the music of your harps. You know why? Because there's sin in the heart. It's not what goes in, it's what's come out. And then you got to know to sing about Jesus. But he has not dealt with the heart. Amen? But let justice, let conviction roll, and that's Amos 5:24, let conviction roll on like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amen? That's what God tells us to do. And so when we talk about this word conviction and obeying from the heart must be dealt with. John chapter 6, let's turn there. John chapter 6, we're going to be closing this out. Amen. Amen. Is the word good?
Amen.
It's good to me. It's good to me. Amen. Even me and my wife, I thank God for her. But guess what, y'all? I know my heart, and I know there's some places and some counsels in me that she don't know about. There's some places that only God can get you. There's some places in us that we can't fully explain or articulate what it is that's going on. Amen. But the word of God is able to get there. The Bible says we don't have a high priest who's not able to be in touch with what we feel, but was tempted in all points, as were we, yet without sin. And one day we're going to deal with that. Dealing with the stages of the sorrow that Christ felt, the points, being betrayed, being denied, being whipped, being scourged, being lied on, all these things, being beat physically, mentally, emotionally, the things that he went, he's the only one that's able to get through those deep places. But John 6:60 says this. John 6:54 says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And what he's talking about right there, he's talking about the union. He's talking about, earlier in this verse, in this chapter, John 6, verse 48, he calls himself the bread of life. 6:35, he also calls himself the bread of life, means that bread that gives life, that life of which he speaks, is spiritual and eternal life. And that's what Christ gives. He's the great I am. Amen? He's the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? I am the fountain of life. He's the great I am. Everything you need is found in him. That's the union that we have. And so when he says in verse 56, he that dwelleth in me, and I am him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That means we give up our life for his life. Paul said, I'm apprehending after him who's apprehended after me. That means I have to give up something. I got to give up my life, my wants, my desires, and take on the mind of Christ. Take on his will for my life. Amen? It's not about my rights, but it's about Christ working through me. And Christ explained them. Now, they were following him for the miracles, the healing, and all that he did. Fed the multitude. Man, it's on like popcorn. We're following Jesus. But when Jesus started explaining to them, amen, how they must surrender their life, verse 660 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When conviction met them, they were not willing. Amen. And many of them, not all of them, but many of them turned and walked away. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, He said to them, doeth this offend you? Because the word, well, those areas in our lives, the word will offend you. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 666, John 666. First of all, verse 63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh is that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We have Christ, we have eternal life. And it's the word of God, our relationship in the word of God that quickeneth the spirit, the manifestation of the fruit of his spirit in us. Man, but there are some of you that believe not. And then verse 666 says, from that time forward, many disciples went back and they walked no more with him. Right? So let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to finish this up. And Jesus went on to say, verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 23, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can be saved? You know why they said that? Because there were those who claimed that they related salvation equivalent to your riches or your position or your prominence. Amen. And so that's why they said those words in this text, right? And to correct the misunderstanding, Jesus explained to them the human difficulty for the rich man to be converted. That implies with extreme difficulty, though not hopeless, the illustration of a camel going through the eye of a needle has been interpreted as a camel hair rope going through a needle, or an actual camel squeezing through a small gate. But guess what? I don't believe that either. The eye of a needle next to the main gate at Jerusalem, or the absolute impossibility of a literal camel actually going through a tiny needle's eye. This last usage is probably most likely. Amen. There are those that say, oh, he was just, this wasn't literal. He was more talking about the gate, right? But even if he was talking about a needle, right, it's easier for that camel to go through that eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Right? And so, but Jesus beheld them in verse 26 and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. Because we know a camel can't go through an eye of a needle. Right? But with God, all things are possible. And when answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and we follow thee. That's Peter, right? That's Peter. Jesus, we left everything. We're following you. Right? What shall we have therefore? And this was Jesus' answer to Peter. He said, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Listen to this, y'all. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And this is what he says, because that rich young man, he was first, he was prominent. He was one of the wealthiest. And so in that day, they were described as the people who God must be on his side because he's blessed. Poor people were delineated as not being saved, right? But Jesus says this, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen? And when he says here, a lot of people, when he says those that forsaken houses, that means forsaking those desires. Man, Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money, when used for the right things, for your needs, for your car, for your house, for your bills, guess what? It's okay. It's all right. Amen? And I'm a witness. God will supply your needs according to his riches. He will open you up, and that's why y'all pay your tithes. Amen? He will meet your needs, not just monetarily, but he will meet your needs. Amen? My battery. Conked out in my car a month before the warranty expired. Guess what? I got a brand new battery. I didn't get the money, but guess what? I got a new battery. So he's not talking about forsaking or just, oh, I got to leave my brother. I got to leave my sister, or I got to leave my father. But that means what he was saying here, anything we put before Christ. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transform. How? By the renewing of your mind. We've got to put Christ first. He's got to be the apple of our eye, being led by conviction. Amen. Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these other things. Guess what? What this young rich ruler gave up, what he couldn't give up, the possessions that he couldn't give up. Boy, I'm telling you, he's going to stand before the judgment seat. And he's going to look at what he had to gain comparison to what he was not willing to give up. And let me tell you something. You won't even be able to put it on a scale, because it's not even talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4. There's no to the weight of glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Thank God for this lesson of this rich young ruler and the stronghold that he had that he could not let go. And y'all, guess what, y'all? We got some strongholds that God still has to convict us and point them out in us. And when you look at the woman in the well, Jesus didn't preach to her and just let her go. He knew about the other husband or the another man that wasn't her husband. But he asked her about it. He asked her about the one that was not hers, that she might be convicted to come clean. Amen? With the one that was not hers. He met her with conviction. And that's what the word of God does. It has to meet us with conviction, to meet those things in our heart. But when she repented and she was broken and she met this man, and this is what she said, that told me everything about myself. Amen. The Bible says she left her water pot and she went and began to tell people, come meet a man. He forgave her. In her tears, he forgave her. Amen. Even the adulterous woman. He said, where are your convictors or your accusers? Amen. He said, where are your accusers? They're all gone. And neither was he. Amen. The Bible says, he said, go and sin no more. That's grace. And that's the obeying from the heart. That's the grace relationship that God wants with us. There's no salvation without conviction. Amen. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with Judas could be around those disciples and nobody could see his heart. He had a stronghold. He was the one that carried the money back. Peter couldn't figure it out, James or John. But the Bible says, in the night in which Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says, I believe in Luke, that Satan, don't say a demon, it says Satan entered into Judah's heart. You don't see that in the Bible with anybody else, but Satan entered into the very heart of Judas. He came in through the stronghold. Amen. Just like this young rich ruler that walked away, that would not let the word hit the pay dirt, hit that rock, and remove that stronghold. We use a pole digger to get the dirt out the ground. When you're digging up, sometimes you hit rocks, and he's got a tool that he can put on a rock and hit it with a sledgehammer and break the rock. That way you can dig a little deeper. Sometimes we got some rocks in our lives, amen, that God's got to get that rock out, that he can dig a little deeper, that he can break up the fallow ground in our hearts. But let me tell you, deliverance is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you to know that you're God all by yourself and besides you, there's none other. God, we pray, oh God, even through this word, that you will just continue to take examination of ourselves, oh Lord, that we will take examination of our hearts by this word of God, that we will receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that's able to save our soul. God, we thank you, oh God, because the real test, you said, we will know them by their fruit. So we're praying for fruitful lives in community, praying for fruitful homes, even in our children, that we will, Lord, that it won't, we won't have to strive or try to be fruitful. But as we abide in that vine, God, your sap, the Holy Spirit will continue to work in us. You've called us to be fruit bearers. We can't make the fruit, but the fruit will be manifested through us. We're praying for that in community. We're praying that, oh God, even it's not about the four walls, but even outside the church, in our home, on our jobs, in our places of occupation, in school, wherever we go, even if we work in a hospital, or even if we work at home or sit at home, God, wherever we are, we must bear fruit. You said in Matthew 7:23, and in that day, many shall come in my name, like the Judaizers, like the man, this rich young ruler. And they can say, God, we've done all these things in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, because they were never willing to let the conviction of the Holy Ghost prick their hearts. And they can be blind in religion and have a spirit of delusion that's out right now with all the things that are going on in this land, calling right wrong and wrong right. People are deluded. People are bamboozled. Oh God, following after the prince of this air and prince and the power of this air. God, there's a spirit of deception. Oh God, where hearts have been seared with the hot iron, oh God. People are hard, oh God, to your word, but we pray against that spirit of hardness. We pray for the spirit of meekness in us, that Christ, you will continue to work in us, that you will rule and you will reign over our lives. God, that you will draw people through us unto yourselves. We have this treasure and earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. So we pray that your word, even on tonight, be applied to our hearts and to our homes, even unto our children. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. And for sake we pray, let everybody say amen.